Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Live and Let Die Tuesday edition. Yeah. I didn't know I was talking about our monitor. We are a country without a speaker, Dominic. I mean, no speaker of the house. They've just ousted the speaker with no plan B.
Good to see you, Nate, on the board. Our fair audience, it is true. The house in Congress is now without a leader. And I got to tell you, first time in American history this has ever happened. No plan B from the Republicans. All the Dems joined with a few Republicans to give McCarthy the boot, who was so very confident. I'm so very confident. But considering the efforts that we had, you know, certainly he got through the spending bill. Perhaps it cost him his job. But really, was there a lot of solid leadership when you gave it all away in 15 votes before? Are we really going to miss anything?
You know, the Dems could have bailed him out. They didn't.
Well, he could have cut a deal with the Dems, and he didn't. So
he had no soul to sell. Nothing left to give. Dom, that's not even the breaking news. You know, the speakerless House of Representatives, a house divided against itself, cannot stand.
Yeah.
Would you say this Republican Party is in disarray?
It's a disarray. Yes, I would absolutely say that.
I would as well. We'll have continuing coverage of that. Now we got a tremendously big show going on here. We got some big guests, and I can't believe you're in Madison with me here in the Mad Radio Solidarity Realty Studios.
Come on.
We've got the Secretary of the State of Wisconsin joining us at 4:30, Sarah Godlewski. Been too long? I don't think we've had her on since she's taken the appointment. So Sarah coming at 4:30. And then also, Dom, a new entree into the third CD, the Derek Van Orden, the race to succeed Derek Van Orden as the congressperson in the third. Well, the new entree, Katrina Shanklin, well known to the Devil's Advocates, been on this fine program a couple times.
Yeah.
More than a couple times, I feel quite confident. And the Stevens Point area lawmaker is running. She's in it to win it, Dom. She joins us at 5:30. Brewers in it to win it. We're going to be preempted for some Brewers baseball in WRCE. That's news from the center, Richland Center. They got the Brewers coming up. First pitch, wild card series starting at 6:08. And also our flagship, WISS, 1100 AM, 98.3 FM. They've all got the Brewers game and the big queue up north. So if you're going to the cabin, you know, you can turn us off and put the Brewers game on. 6:08. But we've got sports director Mike Clements live from American Family Field. He's going to join us at 5:20. Give us a little preview. Brandon Woodruff apparently out this series. And there are some other, you know, they've got to make their first round playoff roster known to the public. There are some surprises here.
Ooh, Mike's going to lay it all out for us.
Yes, he will. We'll talk with Mike. 5:20, Katrina Shanklin, 5:30, Sarah Godlewski at 4:30, and no Speaker of the House right now. None.
Well, there is U.S. Rep. Patrick McHenry. He is now the pro tem speaker.
Speaker pro tem. That means he's the spare.
That's Latin for the time being. Very. And I think, Nate, you said he was from North Carolina. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yes.
All right. There we go.
Go Tar Heels.
So we have someone.
Does he get a as the first speaker pro tem in American history, perhaps.
Yeah.
Because we've never had an ousted speaker of the House. This is a historic day we're having here on the Devil's Advocates, Tom. But does he also get a picture, a portrait in the speaker's gallery? Right. I mean, it could be like a thumbnail sketch. Just, you know, no color, just black and white.
Just in chalk. You could erase
watercolor?
It. Something that can be washed out.
That seems appropriate. Dom, we've got some other big news. First and foremost, the Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023. We've made a commitment, Dom. At least one more party in the Madison area.
At least one.
Haven't had one here all summer. Are we prepared to tell the folks?
I think I can commit, Michael.
Have we committed? Are we fully committed?
I think it's going to happen.
We're going to the Jade Monkey.
Oh, that funky monkey.
One of Hawk's Fighter neighborhood bars over on Cottage Grove Road in Madison. And he likes when we party on the Tuesday nights. The Wednesday audience, less so. But the Tuesday night, it will be a party. We will live broadcast from the Jade Monkey, part of the Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023. And Hawk's going to have us at the Jade Monkey. That will be Tuesday, October 17th. Make a note of it. You are invited. And you can party with the Devil's Advocates. We're going to do a show 4 to 6, and there will be many fine guests. I feel quite confident. And a soiree to follow. They don't close that place till like 2, 2:30.
No, they're not going to make us go home.
No, they've never thrown us out yet. There's always this Tuesday, October 17th. We'll be at the Jade Monkey. So will you, because there ain't no party like a hometown Fall in Love Hometown Tour 2023. Devil's Advocate.
It's a lot. If you've never been, if you have never been, number one, to a Devil's Advocate show, come on out. Come and meet us. Come and hang out. Talk some politics. Have some pints. Have some fun. But the Jade Monkey.
Bring cookies.
The Jade Monkey is a fine establishment. Hawk always throws a good time. The staff is phenomenal. The drinks are great. So come on down and hang out with us.
If the weather is nice, we'll be on the grotto.
Oh, yeah.
If the weather is less nice, we'll be packing her in the bar. But either way, come on down, have a good time with us. Dom, do you think the nation will have a Speaker of the House by then? I mean, because it wasn't an easy task to pick the sold his soul,
yes,
Kevin McCarthy, yes, for a portrait in the Speaker's gallery, not much else, because just the simple act of keeping the government open has turned Matt Gaetz and apparently what? Half a dozen other Republicans against the man.
We had a running numbers of the folks who voted along with the Democrats to oust the Speaker.
Yes, I believe it was 8 Republicans. That's Biggs, Buck, Burchett, Crane, Gaetz, Good, Mace, and Rosendale.
Mace, Nancy Mace. And Matt Gaetz. You know what he's preempting? This is all theatrical non-governance for Matt Gaetz, because he's going to run for governor in Florida.
So what is
2026.
He's running cover for Trump today?
I think he's actually trying to brandish his own brand. You know, he's trying to shine up that turd, Dom.
I mean, congratulations. You have, what, 7 other Republicans? Matt Gaetz that voted?
But he's the one that's going to get ousted. He's the one that has credible, you know, if not legal, criminal allegations.
Come on.
Certainly ethical violations.
Yeah, really? I mean, pick and choose, man. What about who's the other guy? Santos. I mean, you're going to get rid of Gaetz. You're not going to get rid of Santos. You're going to keep Gozar. I mean, come on, man. Once you go down that road, and if you set the criteria, how do you not apply it to the other Republicans who are just as bad?
This party is in disarray, Dom. It really is. It's a party turned against itself. And those that continue to support McCarthy, and that includes each Wisconsin
Republican House member. Correct.
That's you, Brian Stale. That's you, Gallagher. That's you, Glenn Grothman. I heard Glenn Grothman on Whitey Righty Talk Radio. I heard her, Vicky, your girl, down the dial, talking to Glenn today. He used to come around once in a blue moon, but Glenn Grothman, and she's just hammering the guy in real time, like, Glenn, you don't have the votes. You're going to lose your speaker. This plan is failure. And, of course, they are failing. And they're going to, what, turn and blame it on the Democrats. It's their fault. Yeah. But that's not going to work, Tom. I think even the American people. Now,
well,
I don't know if the American people don't just say it's all chaotic. It's all terrible. But, you know, the Republicans created this chaos.
No, there's
Congress in charge.
There's some veterans in there. You know, Hakeem Jeffries, the leader right now of the minority. But, you know, Nancy Pelosi is still in there. I mean, Nancy got
things
done.
Call her out of the bullpen?
Call her out, man. Have her run out, cross the field, full blast, throw a couple of knuckleballs. I mean, come on. You have the pros within the ranks, at least of the House.
I think our old
who have been there before, man.
I think our old friend Liddy Mattioli's got a better chance of getting called in from the bullpen than Nancy Pelosi.
But what did Nancy Pelosi get done with the same margin, right?
Whatever she needed to.
Right. And
what
happened with McCarthy with the same margin on the other side with the party in disarray? He gets ousted. I mean, well, think about that for a minute. Think about the results and the leadership and the efficiency.
But history will talk about Kevin McCarthy forever. He's making history today. Not only will he get a portrait in a speaker's gallery, remember like the George Washington portrait? They didn't finish it. You know that famous one? It's like half white canvas. He should get a portrait like that.
It's not quite done.
Sort of incomplete term. Dom, begs the question.
Did you put the number of months that he served instead of the 2 years? I mean, how's that going to work out?
Instead of like a tombstone, you know, with the years of service, it's the days. Maybe a day calendar. Kind of like Scott Walker's days running for president, 71. Dom, but begs the question, at least in my mind, whatever happened to the young guns? The young guns, you remember? Eric Cantor, he was the leader. And then there was Paul Ryan, he was the thinker. At least according to the foreword in there, thrice, they wrote it together. These three wrote a book. And do you remember who the other young gun was?
Emilio Estevez? Bon Jovi?
Kevin McCarthy. You know what his title was, according to the foreword in this book?
What?
Written by Fred Barnes. He was the strategist. I gotta ask you, Dom, how do you think his strategery is working out today?
Well, at least he's still in the House. He's just not the speaker.
And the Dems let him swing. Live and let die. It's the Live and Let Die Tuesday edition. A little time for you before our first fine guest, Sarah Godlewski. She's in the hizzy. She'll be in the studio soon. You could be next, though. 844-967-2789. The Republican Party, Dom, what would you say about him?
It's in disarray.
This show, always tight. More Devils.
The Devil's Advocates know how to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and we're all out of bubblegum.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show, taking your calls before Wisconsin Secretary of State Sarah Godlewski joins us at the bottom of the hour. Call 844-967-2789. Renegades!
The Young Guns. Eric Cantor. Paul Ryan and Kevin McCarthy.
Wait, there wasn't there another one?
No, that was
the three.
Three wrote a book.
And McCarthy's the only one left.
Well, he's gone now.
Well, he's still in the House, but he's not in leadership.
Well, they're not dead. They're just politically dead. And Paul, I would say Kevin McCarthy, you can put him out the pasture now.
Come
as
on,
well.
Man.
He's politically
dead. He had all these people voting for him, except for the exception of a small group of hard right Republicans and Dems that may have changed their mind and played ball if McCarthy offered something of value. But you're gonna let the Republicans let themselves be, you know, pulled around by the nose ring by Matt Gaetz and a handful of these Republicans? Come on.
Well, they disappointed the cult leader, Trump. He wanted the lockdown. I mean, the shutdown.
Yeah.
The lockdown's what comes next. 844-967-2789. Our pal Jake in Milwaukee. Jake, what do you got to say?
Hey, Jake.
I think this is perfect time to spring the Trump Speaker of the House plan. I mean, not only does he have so many indictments, but he's in court now, too. This would be perfect for him. I mean, then he'll be president. That's the plan. So Donald Trump, Speaker of the House.
Jake, I like how you think.
That's a terrible idea, Jake. Like, we don't have enough going on. We're going to throw that in the mix? Oh my God. No, no.
It's a better. Wait. Before you deride our friend Jake from Milwaukee's plan, let me point out, it's a better plan than the Republicans have.
Because they have no plan.
They have no plan B.
They have zero plan.
They didn't have like a plan B candy, Dom. They just wanted this guy out. He crossed Matt Gaetz.
Well, and the seven, others. Eight Gozar. People wanted him out. So I mean, come on. It's such a minority. It's such a minority being able to make this kind of move, man. It's amazing. And I just thought, what I don't get.
That's a power flex.
It is, well, in on the Dems side, because the Dems could have played ball. The Dems could have done something. But, you know, McCarthy, you don't want to govern. Why? You don't want to team up with people across the aisle. Okay, good luck with that.
Why not let his own party hang his ass high? I mean, it's effectively hang Kevin McCarthy. That's what happened.
Because certainly we need, you know, there's something to be said about continual leadership, good governance, those kinds of things.
Governance of Kevin McCarthy.
Well, they kept the government open, man. I mean, let's take the little victories. Barely. While barely. Yeah, but yes, they barely won the game. You take the W, man. Oh, they barely lost the game. He barely lost the speakership. Well, but he did lose the speakership.
Yes, he did.
And that was short-sighted on his part because he should have known the number. And if he was really worried about it, he could have cut a deal with the Dems. He could have done some power sharing, could have made something happen. Instead, the strategic young gun is now out. First time in American history. A Speaker of the House is gone.
Dominic, I would ask, who would want that crappy job? Other than Nancy Pelosi, she was pretty good at it. Relative to Kevin McCarthy, she was the best ever.
Well, I mean,
really, relative to all of them, she was the best ever.
No doubt. She kept in mind, again, mentioned in the last segment, you know, same number of majority and able to get lots of things done. You know, what does McCarthy do with his majority? He gets his ass fired. That's what he does.
His own team.
But the Dems were in lockstep in this strategy today, man. I mean, let's not overshadow that. I mean, Hakeem Jeffries and the Democrats could have played a different way. They didn't.
They chose not to. Dom, there is a little local breaking news as well. Senate Republicans signaled they could remove a Democrat on the Wisconsin Elections Commission. Now, there has been the assembly threat of what? The impeachment of the Wisconsin Elections Commission administrator. And now they're trying to take people off the board, at least according to Hope Carnop. I'm sorry, Hope, I was distracting myself. Senate Republicans are signaling they could fire Democratic Governor Tony Evers' appointee to the State Elections Commission, a move that comes less than 3 weeks after they voted to remove the commission's administrator. And a Senate committee voted 3-2 against confirming Milwaukee County Clerk Joseph Sarnacki, I'm sure that's wrong, appointment to the bipartisan Wisconsin Elections Commission with all Republicans opposing and all Democrats supporting him. The vote took place immediately after a Tuesday hearing during which Republican members of the Senate Committee on Shared Revenue, Elections, and Consumer Protection, that's Dan Knodel's committee,
it
right,
sure
Dom,
is.
Focused their questions on the commission's move to keep WEC Administrator Megan Wolf's place after her term expired in June. While all three Republican members of the commission voted to support Wolf, all three Democratic members, including Sarnacki, abstained in a procedural move to keep Wolf in her role and prevent the need for the Senate to reappoint her. Democratic Senator Mark Spritzer, a recent guest on this show from Beloit, said commissioners were following a state Supreme Court ruling that said appointed officials can stay after their terms expire. See the Fred Preem case, right?
Mm-hmm.
Preem, of course, refused to step down after his term ended. Aides for Senate Republican leaders, Dom, consulted with Preem about his decision, right? They were in cahoots.
Sarnacki's hearing comes shortly after the Senate voted to fire Wolf, the state's top election official and nonpartisan administrator of the commission. She remains in her job pending a court challenge filed by Democratic Attorney Josh Call, which argues the Senate did not have the power to oust her. These are legal questions that are currently playing out in court, and I would suggest that we let them continue to play out in court until we have that answer, Spritzer said. I think it's important that we remember that the vast majority of votes that WEC takes are unanimous. Some Republicans have since introduced articles of impeachment against Wolf, though it's still unclear whether the resolution will advance. Assembly Speaker Voss has not yet assigned it to a committee to launch the proceedings. I think the commission will ultimately make a decision on an administrator, Sarnecki said, adding he believes WC could take another vote to reappoint Wolf. I don't necessarily agree that we should be taking everything that is controversial to court.
Why not impeachment? I mean, if you got the votes, you might as well flex a little, right?
Well, if you have the power, if you don't use it, you really don't have it, right?
Well, the House Republicans, like 8 of them, flexed a little today and took out the Speaker of the House.
But not the Wisconsin Republicans. They voted for McCarthy.
Oh, they love his ass. Come back. Sarah Godlewski, our fine guest. She is Wisconsin Secretary of State, joins us in studio in Madison next.
Think you know politics? Again, welcome to the Devil's Advocates.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Live and Let Die Tuesday edition. We've been joined live in the Mad Radio studios by a fine guest. She is the Secretary of State in the great state of Wisconsin, our friend Sarah Godlewski. Sarah, Hi, welcome back.
Oh my gosh, it's great to be here.
Hey, Sarah, welcome back.
Especially in your new studio. I haven't been to the new digs, guys. It's looking pretty good.
It's better than where we let them usually broadcast from the bunker on Brady Street.
It's almost respectable, Sarah.
I mean, I saw that you brought some art. Like, Mike, that's pretty nice. Yeah. Got some, like, dried roses. You tell me about it.
Not according to my wife. There's a reason it's at the office and has not resided at my home for, like, 20 years now. Right. Sarah, Secretary of State.
Yeah.
I didn't see that coming.
I mean, that makes two of us.
What would you say you do there?
I think the question, Amor, is what do we not do sometimes? Because when I first walked into the basement office and I found out that we're everything from the kind of representative for the State Department, I mean, we do 14,000 cases expanding, whether it's businesses that want to go overseas or adoption papers or vital records, to literally our work with local clerks and local government. I mean, it is to, you know, getting information about how our office was one of the four that got information about the fake electors and what we're doing about that. So it is a wide range of things. I guess
the Wisconsin fake electors sent their fraudulent documents to the Wisconsin Secretary of State's office.
So in federal code, there's four places that you're supposed to send the Electoral College records, and the Secretary of State is one of the four recipients. So we maintain the Electoral College for the state of Wisconsin.
And what'd you do with that document?
Well, it's now on our website. So because you can imagine, this might be a hot topic, but you can get all of the documents you want right from our office. It's right there. You can click on it because it's about transparency and, quite frankly, more accountability.
Yeah.
Sarah, let's talk about how you got the job as Secretary of State. It wasn't the traditional way. You didn't win the election. That was Doug LaFollette, the first name in Wisconsin politics. And I was happy to see Doug run because I thought our Republican friends might have some malfeasance in mind for the position. And I thought the only way Doug's going to lose is if he got primaried and he survived that and survived the general election. And then almost immediately resigned the position. And you were given the position. And of course, rumor, speculation, it abounds in this crazy business we're in, Sarah. So first and foremost, Jamaica deal. Was there a secret deal with you and the governor? Is that why you got out of the Senate race?
Oh, let me tell you, there was unfortunately no secret deal, Mike. I mean, as much as I, you know, would rather be probably Secretary of State than a U.S. Senator, I mean, real luxurious jobs that we're doing
The last guy had that job like 42 years.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
He liked it.
I mean, I will tell you that when I was called into the governor's office and he sat me down and he's talking about, you know, Sarah, you did so many things with the treasurer's office and how you turned it around and really made it what it should be for the people of Wisconsin. I was like, oh, what does he want from the treasurer's office? And then he's like, I would like you to serve as Secretary of State. And I'm like, what happened to Doug? And then the next thing you know, I was like, you don't say no to the governor when he is looking at you and you are given an opportunity to serve. I mean, that's the greatest to me honor that you can ever do is serve your state. But
immediate yes or thoughtful weekend. Right. Let me pray on it. Kind of a yes.
So what my
talk to my family.
Right. Well, what my husband would say is, Didn't you, in any part of that conversation, say, Governor, can I call my husband about this? Because yeah. I said, of course I would be honored to serve. And then when I'm driving home after this conversation, and Max is like, what did the governor want? And I'm like, he's like, are you serving on a task force? Like, what kind of side project are you doing? And I'm like, you're looking at your new Secretary of State. And Max literally was like, his head exploded. And he was like, no shit. Like,
oh. Yes, please continue. He was very surprised.
He was very surprised. And I mean, as he, it took our whole family by surprise. I mean, I was starting to get my new gig going. I were going back to kind of the private sector and taking my kid to school. And I was even going to yoga, you guys, once a week.
Oh, like, nice. Getting back into it.
Oh, my gosh. And so it
I'm contemplating taking up yoga at some point.
Right.
At some point.
So it was, I mean, look, it was a complete surprise, so much so that I think this also can't be more of a Wisconsin story. So then after the governor asked and I said, well, when do you need me to serve? And he's like, well, what are you doing on Friday? And I'm like, 48 hours Friday? And he's like, yeah, we need to swear you in before midnight. I'm like, I guess I'm serving as Secretary of State. Fast forward to that Friday. I'm getting my, you know, little kid ready to go to daycare, and I get a knock on the door, and it is the lawyer from the governor's office coming in, and she's like, we need to swear you in. And I'm like in my Packer pajamas.
At home?
At home with my hair up in like a ponytail. Again, my kid's running around, and I'm like, right now? Like, I thought this was a ceremony with a judge and like people.
Right.
And she's like, no, we just need you to take the oath, Sarah, and sign the paper. And I'm like, I guess I'm going to do this in my Packer pajamas. I mean, here we are. So.
Wow.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. That's a good story. I like that one. We got a fine guest. She is Sarah Godlewski, the Secretary of State of the great state of Wisconsin. Sarah, the fact that there wasn't a special election, is that unusual? I know that it's unusual. It's been 42 years since we had a different Secretary of State. I'm not sure how that normally would transpire on the resignation of the current, but is it unusual at all, to your opinion, that it's an appointment and Tony didn't look to do a special?
So this is where I think it gets really, really frustrating, is that the Republicans are like, look, there needs to be this special election. But what the law says is that the governor can appoint when there is a vacancy, whether it is at a statewide constitutional office or even the Supreme Court. And so you hear all of these complaints from the Republicans, but this is exactly what Scott Walker did.
Right.
When there were two Supreme Court justices that stepped down in the middle of their term, Scott Walker got to appoint two of them. One of them we know very well, which was Dan Kelly. And so this is the way the system works, is that when you elect a governor, they have the ability to appoint when an office vacates. And that's how it works.
It bugs the you-know-what out of Republicans, though, when Democrats actually use the rules to their advantage.
Well, but that's my thing. What do you think the motivation is? And I hate to have you get in other people's heads, but certainly they know that. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not like they don't know that. So when they say, oh, we need to do this process, although, you know, the governor followed the normal legal standard procedure right. In this kind of a scenario, they, when they're out there saying these things, they know in their heart that that's not accurate.
Well, I think it's because, look, like, it's no secret that I am somebody who isn't, you know, I'm a fighter. I get things done. And that's not what the Republicans want in this role. They don't want somebody who's going to step up, do the job, fight for democracy. And I'm just not going to stand there and take it, because I think that we have an obligation to get things done for the people of Wisconsin. And that's exactly what we're going to do.
Come on, Sarah. I remember the guy running against you for treasurer, Adamitz, or whatever his name was. His platform was eliminate the treasurer's
office. I mean, I know. Because, you know, who needs checks and balances in government here, guys? Like,
Elect me.
How silly is that? Right. How silly.
Sarah, how badly in need of revitalization is the Secretary of State's office? We know, because of his prominent role, one of the few Democrats that survived the Walker administration, he won when Walker won. Well, he was diminished, and the office was diminished in some way, shape, or form. Is it due for a revitalization? What's that look like?
I think what was really unfortunate is that when, after Doug decided that he was not going to immediately sign Act 10 and give people the 10 days that they needed in order to organize and make sure that everything
the statute that applies towards when he has to print the law for it to take effect. It was like a 10-day deadline.
It's a 10-day deadline that validates it before it becomes law. What happened, the consequence after that, was they basically cut a lot of the funding for the office. So they didn't necessarily take additional responsibilities. They took away a lot of funding. And so they're like, basically, here's all these unfunded mandates that you need to be doing for the state of Wisconsin. And
funding means people usually, right? Employees, staff, bureaucrats, right. Like, people that actually do the jobs.
I mean, one of the unfunded mandates that we're currently doing goes back to, we are the office that authenticates documents for overseas use. So if you want to expand a business, let's say to Thailand or Europe, my office has to authenticate those documents before a European country will recognize them or a South American country.
So as a corporation doing business in another, in a foreign country, they need to come in with their docs authenticated by the Secretary of State
by us
before they can even start doing their business technically.
Yes. And that is whether it is, and it's also like adoptions or any sort of vital records. And again, this is not 100 here or there or when we're bored, like helping out a business. I mean, this is 14,000 plus cases we do a year. And it's everybody from Harley Davidson and Trek to like the local creamery here in, you know, like Greene County, for example. So we're doing all of that.
Devil's Advocates have every plan to go worldwide at some point.
Great. Can't wait to validate your paperwork here, Mike.
I didn't know there'd be paperwork. Yeah.
Sarah Godlewski, I was told there'd be cake.
Secretary of State, let me ask you, how many staff do you have to deal with 14,000 cases before the Secretary of State's office?
Yeah. So, I mean, the legislature has basically said, look, at the end of the day, you have, you know, one person and you can use your budget to hire more, but that's really at your discretion. And so this
or
is,
you can what heat the office or buy toilet paper. Yeah, what's the alternative not, with the
right,
budget?
Try to like sell our office space, I guess, to try to raise additional revenue. I mean, I think what's so frustrating is that we fully fund ourselves.
Yeah.
So like even the work that we do, that's what pays for it. And we give the general fund hundreds of thousands of dollars back again. And that's what else is so frustrating is like, here's an opportunity for us to continue to modernize and improve. You know, the Republicans are like, no, sorry, you guys don't need those services, I guess.
Sarah, you've obviously been very close to politics and you've run for office here and you've won office and you've lost. And now you're the Secretary of State. But what's your impression of the current state of politics with threatened impeachment of Supreme Court justices and Wisconsin elections commissioners? It seems like politics is being weaponized in the current sense. It didn't always feel that way to us, but it sure does now.
Yeah, and I think what is so frustrating and sad in a way is that the tactics on the extreme right is let's do everything we can to cause confusion and chaos. And using that, to your point, Mike, to like weaponize people that are trying to do good things, that are trying to get things done. And so rather than actually working across the aisle and figuring out, okay, what are things that we can do to maybe like support our clerks and work together? Because we know that clerks are at capacity. There are so many vacancies and they're critical for our communities. It's more about, you know, like weaponizing and like trying to impeach Janet. Or let's talk about how we're, you know, there's a fake elector on the election commission. And so I think that's what's really frustrating.
Bob Spindell. Name names here.
Right, right. It's not about getting things done in the way that it really should be. And that's what Wisconsinites want.
Sarah, the Secretary of State's office, and I'm partisan office technically. I mean, we're talking about just getting things done. These would be conservative corporations, you know, liberal corporations, sure. And people just want to do some business, not necessarily focused on whether one's a Republican or a Democrat. And Doug LaFollette survived that. And obviously, as Kurti mentioned, all through the Walker administration. How has it been since you've been there?
I mean, we all know that the Republicans did not roll out the welcome mat when I was announced as the appointee for Secretary of State. And so rather than looking at all of the work that we got done, like working with all the local treasurers, you know, we created a foreclosure prevention fund to keep people in their homes. We actually created a home ownership program that's helping people buy homes. None of that was talked about. It was more about, oh, let's start chaos and talk about a conspiracy theory when it couldn't be further from reality.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. We got a fine guest in studio. Hopefully she's sticking around. She is Sarah Godlewski, Secretary of the great state of Wisconsin. Sarah, I also got to ask you, baseball fan?
Sure am.
Brewers, first pitch, 6:08. About an hour.
Oh, is that what that timer is up there?
No, that's actually our show time, but we are counting down.
Okay.
In my brain, I'm counting down to the first pitch.
Well, I wish I would have known about the Brewers attire. I would have dressed accordingly here.
Curdy's all dressed up. He's ready to go.
I'm wearing the blue. You more fashionable than I.
And I have black on.
I mean,
it's slimming.
Yeah.
Come back with us, Devils Advocates Radio and Sarah Godlewski. More. Stick around. I know you will.
I don't know if you know the Devil's Advocates, but the show is kind of a big deal.
And we are back. Thank you for listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Our guest, Sarah Godlewski, Wisconsin's Secretary of State. Sticking around for another segment. Sarah, always a pleasure to talk to you.
Please address her as Madam Secretary.
Yeah.
Thanks for letting me hang around, guys.
Yeah, you made the cut. Well done. Well done.
I mean, you know, it's like when David Letterman invites you to the couch. You never know if you're going to get invited beyond that break, because if we run out of topics, you don't get invited back.
Well, there's lots of topics. I mean, you ran for U.S. Senate,
yeah.
So you have a mind for the national politics, the national topics, and there's no shortage of that today.
No.
So let me get your opinion. The House, for the first time in American history, have kicked out Kevin McCarthy, no longer Speaker of the House. The Dems all went along with a few crazy Republicans, and now Kevin McCarthy is out of a job. That's just as a general sense. Your thoughts?
I mean, first, I think what Matt Gaetz is doing is very on brand for the Republican extremists, right? Let's try to shut down government and make sure it doesn't work. And that's exactly what is happening. But at the same time, it's not the Democrats' responsibility to bail them out. I mean, they're the ones that got us in this mess in the first place. We were literally on the brink from shutting down government on Sunday, which would have made sure that our veterans didn't get paid. Medicaid and Medicare payments for so many folks right here in Wisconsin weren't going to be able to be getting the resources and funding that they need. And so this is, you know, on brand for the Republicans. Just shut it all down.
Break it. Hey, we break it and say we're the ones to fix it.
Right. I mean, this is what I used to think about a lot when I was state treasurer. They're always like, oh, Democrats, you're these big spenders. And you're like, all this about government. But when's the last time the budget was actually balanced? It was with a Democrat. Like, we actually are pragmatic and get things done, but yet we're the ones that always have to bail it out when, you know, the other party comes and, like, runs up the deficit, fires all these jobs, puts them overseas. Like, it then becomes our problem to fix all the time.
Sarah, do you recall that they called them the young guns? Eric Cantor, Paul Ryan,
yeah,
and Kevin McCarthy. And their whole thing was fiscal prudence.
Right.
They were all they were these good conservatives, and they've all been kicked out of the history of the Republican Party. Effectively, they all are out as of today. Kevin McCarthy out as the Speaker of the House. He's politically dead man walking.
Right.
There is no future for the man.
No.
Is it surprising to you that what was once perceived to be the future of the Republican Party has been cast asunder for the cult of Trump? They've all cast asunder for the cult of Trump.
I mean, I think that's the direction that the Republican Party is going in. And but I think, well, that is, I mean, we know it's extreme. But he's the one that's right now that's also winning in the polls. I mean, when you look at what the Republican primary and who's the one that's rising to the top, it's Trump. And this is a guy that we know today, what, got a gag order? That was literally issued
while in court for fraud.
Right.
The judge has already ruled pretty much he, yes, committed the fraud. Now it's a trial about how much he has to be fined.
Yeah, and here's a guy that, like, literally thinks he's above the law. Every other American is not, but him, he is. And this is what is really, really scary, because whether it's him and his work to try to overturn the election in 2020, to the fraud that he's done, to the way that he has mistreated women and workers. I mean, this is really scary.
Sarah Godlewski, our fine guest here in studios in Madison, Solidarity Realty Studios. Sarah, we're turning towards another presidential year, as you took note of. It's probably going to be Biden and Trump on the ballot once again, and it's probably going to come down to 3, 4, 5 states, including the state of Wisconsin, again. And it really could come down to a margin of 20,000 votes, maybe less. Sarah, how scared are you that we're going to face the specter of going through this again? And if Trump were reelected, how much more dangerous would it be for the country?
Well, I will tell you, in traveling the state and talking with a lot of clerks, like, they are working diligently day in and day out to be ready for the election. And I think that's one of the great things about our system, is how it is really focused on the local communities and best working with them. But what is so frustrating is here we are 2.5, 3+ years later, and there has been no accountability for the fake electors here in Wisconsin. And to make to make matters worse, we have a fake elector who is serving on the election commission. So this is like a guy that said it was okay to overturn the will of the people, but he can make laws associated with how, you know, democracy is supposed to run. It's just, to me, that's what I think is really frightening.
Sarah, we were at the DPW when the Dobbs ruling came down, the overturning of Roe v. Wade, and obviously it has created a change in the electorate. And we saw that play out perhaps through the spring election here in the state of Wisconsin, the massive victory by Protasiewicz. Sarah, do you think the fact that Planned Parenthood, through a judge's ruling, feels like they have the right to, again, do reproductive care here in the state of Wisconsin, do you feel like this issue is blunted whatsoever from the electorate's point of view? If abortion is available again to Wisconsin women, are they going to come out and vote in the same numbers they did when they were outraged that they knew they didn't have this care available to them?
Absolutely not. Because in Wisconsin today, I will tell you, I still believe I have fewer rights than my mother and my grandmother. And what I mean by that is that you talk to hospitals, they're not performing reproductive abortions because they're worried still about the laws in Wisconsin. You talk to doctors, they're still afraid about the laws that are on the books in Wisconsin. So my hat goes out to Planned Parenthood for doing the right thing. But let's not be fooled. I mean, it is on a case-by-case situation, and a right needs to be universal. And we don't have that right yet. So no, I believe that women still have fewer rights in this state than what they did, just a year and a half ago.
So certainly abortion, and I think democracy, small d democracy, will certainly be an issue on the ballot. We talk about it constantly, but it's always about the economy, stupid, as they famously say. What is your impression of Wisconsin's economy and the electorate's take on the economy currently, Sarah?
I think that we can never talk enough about the economy. Look, like, we have the lowest unemployment rate ever. We have been able to effectively, I mean, we know inflation is an issue, but compared to if you look overseas, like, we've been doing our best to manage it. But at the same time, let's talk about values. And we still don't have paid family leave, affordable childcare, $15 minimum wage. Like, that's what we're fighting for that would even make our economy stronger, that we're getting stonewalled because of the Republicans.
Sarah, are you going to need like a heater or some sweaters for the office down in the basement at the Capitol?
Maybe a few. If you've got anything in your basement, Mike, I'd love to have it.
Perhaps.
Borrow it.
He's got some artwork he can maybe donate to it.
Or maybe a good sweater.
I have a Packer helmet heater, but it's beloved in my family. It's kind of handed down through the generations. It's their legacy. Sarah Godlewski, Secretary of the great state of Wisconsin, thank you so much for joining us. Don't be a stranger, Sarah.
No, thanks for having me, and I hope to be back again soon, guys.
Yeah, thank you, Sarah.
Folks, we are the Devil's Advocates, coming back for a happy hour. An update on the Brewers. Wild card starts at 6:08. Mike Clemens and Katrina Shanklin running for the third.